the rest of the story. Michael and Patrick, ages 11 and 9, respectively, had not seen their father in some while. Life had been, well, complicated. But no hard feelings, the boys just wanted to see their dad. And so it was on that warm August day that Michael and Patrick, brimming with anticipation, left summer camp to embark on their long-awaited visit. Dick, the boy's father, had mixed emotions. Of course he wanted to see them. He'd been touched by the recent correspondence with Patrick, had looked forward to such a reunion as the one approaching, and yet, should this be the last time the boys ever saw their father alive? And well, it might be. Then did he really want them to remember him like this? For the rest of the story is that Dick, for some years now, had been fighting something he called aggravated asthma, not wanting to give it its real name, irreversible emphysema. Well, Michael and Patrick arrived a bit early. Their first sight of their father was that of a very old man, yet in his early 50s, with a male nurse standing over him, heavy therapeutic weights on his chest. Dick told them not to worry. These were just exercises, he said, to help Daddy breathe easier. He struggled to his feet. He would avoid using the oxygen mask in front of the boys as long as he could. The three of them went out to the yard. Dick sat in a lawn chair, Michael and Patrick in the grass beside him. They listened intently to every word their father spoke, as though they realized that however long they had with him might be all the time they'd ever have. Dick gave his sons two Polaroid cameras as gifts. To entertain them, he described how camera lenses worked, how these particular cameras made photographs so fast. Later, he brought out a paint set. He let the boys compete to paint the best picture of a given object or scene. There was not much talk of home or the mother, who was no longer Dick's wife. These were his hours with the boys, and he would make the most of them as such. 2 days passed quickly, but toward the end of their happy visit, Dick felt himself sinking, and by the time Michael and Patrick boarded the homebound plane, their father was near collapse. No, this was not the end. Though there was no relief in the interminable while that lay ahead, more than once Dick nearly succumbed to his ineffable ailment. Each time his lungs would fill with fluid, his belly would distend, his heart would begin to fail, but each time he was retrieved from the brink of death through extraordinary means that grew less and less welcome. And then finally, not even extraordinary means were extraordinary enough, and Dick died December 14, 1964, in a hospital emergency ward. For the emphysema that took his life had progressed beyond his ability to control it, with the help of a habit that seemed also beyond his control. You see, all the while Dick was dying of lung disease, he never stopped smoking. As his body continued to deteriorate, it became increasingly difficult to find people willing to sneak him packs of cigarettes, but he succeeded right up to the moment he failed and created a tombstone named Richard J. R.J. Reynolds, Jr. The R.J. Reynolds? That's right. The tobacco tycoon, the man who literally manufactured his own demise. A postscript. At that bedside, one of his sons stopped smoking, never smoked again. The other son did not stop. The other son died from the same disease. And now you know the rest of the story.